This is the Improved Photography Podcast, episode 97. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. We thank you so much for your download today. You are joined by thousands of photographers across the world, ranging from soccer moms who want to get better pictures of their kids, people just wanting to dip their toes into the world of digital photography, all the way to seasoned, established pros. And I have a great professional photographer joining me today named Mandy Everett, who shoots some awesome portraits, especially of the little ones. And how are you doing today, Mandy?
I'm doing great, Darren. How are you?
I'm doing extremely well. I'm actually in the process of doing a lot of editing, so we might have to do some talking after the show to help me with my workflow a little bit, but I have tons of editing in front of me right now. So what have you been up to lately?
Well, you know, Darren, recently I had a baby, so I'm experiencing photography from a different perspective, I'll say that much. This is my first kid, and as you mentioned, I've done a lot of photography with the kiddos, but having my first one certainly has opened my eyes to the different side of photography, and that your subject is not always agreeable to what you want them to do. But it's also been great too, because I get to practice a lot and really refine some of the skills that I know I need to improve on a little bit. So, you know, other than that, and trying to just be a mom.
That's awesome. And it helps you probably relate to their behaviors and probably respect the professional photographer's point of view when it comes to getting those little kiddos to hold still and do exactly what you'd like them to do. But before we dive into that, tell us a little bit about your background in photography, what type of gear that is always essential that goes in your bag on a successful photography shoot, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm a Nikon shooter. Don't really get involved in the politics of, you know, what you're shooting with. You know, I think it was once described to me, photography, as getting the good composition and using the right ingredients. It's always funny when people say, you know, gee, this is a great photo. What kind of camera do you use? Is the equivalent of saying, this is a really great lasagna. What kind of oven do you use? You know, it's just, it's not really anything that matters much as knowing what you're doing and, you know, setting things up the appropriate way. So anyway, I'm a Nikon girl. I've got I usually will use or have my Nikon lens. I have a 50 millimeter 1.8 f1.8 that I keep on my body almost all the time. And that's my go-to for most portrait sessions that I do.
And I would say I would agree with the politics too. We've actually had mirrorless debates on here, and people have fought back saying, well, mirrorless is the new way to go, DSLR is still the way to go. And Jim, my partner in this and my mentor, he actually shoots Nikon as well. He shoots the D810 and loves Nikon. I love Canon for different reasons. And I think that there's really no right or wrong. Like you said, it's almost like asking someone, well, what type of oven did you use to come out with this result? It just doesn't make any sense. It's all about the composition. And I think you can agree, I've seen some amazing photos taken on some really awesome cameras, and I've seen some really cruddy photos taken on some subpar cameras, and vice versa. It just depends on the person behind the lens for the most part and their eye for photography.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So I really noticed when you're working with your clients, what are the main types of clients that you work with? Do you mainly work with adults, kiddos? What's your specialty, Mandy?
You know, I mainly do a lot of portrait photography, and I'll say that getting to that point where I know kind of what my niche is has definitely been a process. You know, I think that, you know, when you first start out in photography, I should say, you know, I've been doing photography professionally now for about 3 years. I went through the photography program at Metro and just kind of had a basic, you know, I'd like to get involved in this. You know, I wanted to take good pictures when I went on my honeymoon. And so I kind of picked it up from there and found that landscape photography was great. But for me, it wasn't nearly as challenging as, you know, a person that's not moving or that's, you know, has emotions and things that you need to kind of be aware of and cognizant of when you're shooting. Sports photography, definitely not my thing. I found out, you know, I definitely don't have that steady hand that's required for shooting, you know, very steady shots and getting fast action photos. So definitely portrait photography. I like to connect with my subjects. I like to, you know, really foster a relationship with my clients from the very beginning before we even go to a photo shoot. A lot of what I do is preparing my client, building that relationship with them. And if they have kids, I feel like that's the most crucial thing that you can do, because children by their very nature are, you know, very inquisitive, very suspect. A lot of them are, you know, slow to build that trust with you. And it really helps to kind of lay a foundation right at the beginning. For me anyway, I found that, you know, the more that I know about the kids, the more that I do the research and, you know, figure out what interests them so that we have a common ground to start on when we actually get to the session, has really helped to kind of melt the ice and get the kids comfortable with me. And, you know, I get a sense of who they are as well.
I think that approach sounds stellar. I think that every photographer should have that approach, because there's been some shoots where I've walked into it blindly and I didn't really know the family as well as what I've liked to. And honestly, your approach helps you kind of get a feel for what the family is looking for, because we can talk all day long on instant messaging, texting, whatnot. And it's sometimes it's good to get to know the people you're going to photograph, because our expectations of what we're going to deliver them might be completely different from what they're expecting from us. And it's good to be on that same page. And then also with respect to children, we also want to know what their movements are like, whether or not they're going to be a challenge, they're going to move around a million miles an hour, or whether or not they're going to be one of those that kids that's very shy and doesn't like to be behind the photo. So that's awesome. One question that I do have for you, though, have you ever walked onto a set where you've not really had the preparation, someone just asked you on a whim to shoot some photos, and how did you deal with that if that's happened?
Sure, I absolutely have. Obviously, it's not my preferred way of doing things, but, you know, when the moment's there and you have the ability to capture it, you definitely do. I just think some very generic things when you're shooting, whether it's planned or unplanned, is just knowing your camera. And, you know, knowing if you're in a situation that's, you know, a little bit quicker pace, that you're going to have a faster shutter speed. With children especially, they do not really ever give you an opportunity to get that shot again. So usually when I'm shooting kids, I won't shoot with anything less than about 250 for my shutter speed, just because they move so fast. You know, so knowing your camera, being able to adjust to things on the fly, and then obviously when you're shooting, kind of just basic stuff here, but it's something that I usually will forget at least two or three times per session, and I get home when I'm in the editing stage, and I think, darn it, Mandy, like, you really screwed that up because you didn't focus on the eyes. And I find that sometimes when I'm shooting, I might get distracted by other things that are going on outside of the frame of my composition, and that's when I lose the focus in the shot, so I always just try to focus on the eyes. You know, they say that, you know, the eyes are the window to the soul, and I don't know that that's any truer than it is in photography. You know, you can really get a lot from a person and glean a lot into their personality just by focusing on the eyes, and I try to remember that every time I shoot.
And that's something that's great to remember. If you take a look at Mandy's photos, and first of all, we forgot to mention, where can people find you, Mandy?
Sure. I'm on Facebook. You can look me up. It's Captured by Me Photography. That's me as in Mandy Everett.
Awesome. Yeah. And speaking of your photos, that's just one thing I've noticed as well, is there's so much clarity on the eyes. The pose seems to just be always awesome. And the age ranges you're working with is all the way from adults down to little toddlers. So what's your secret sauce beyond getting to know them to get them to cooperate? There's this one image that just really comes across my mind of you getting a toddler to crawl across the bridge. I mean, what take us into that process and how you got that shot.
You know what? 100% of that goes back to building that relationship with my clients. You know, and it starts from even before we sign contracts. When somebody approaches me and says, "Hey, you know, I'd like your work. Can we schedule a session?" And I think in today's age, it's super quick and it's super easy and it's, you know, so effortless just to say, "Yeah, absolutely, let's go ahead and get you in on Saturday morning," and it could be Friday night when you're making this commitment. And in my opinion, that just doesn't give me enough time to build that relationship with my client that I'm looking to do, because there are things that, you know, if somebody's paying me a service or paying me a fee, I should say, to provide a service for them, I want to educate them on what's going to give them the best pictures that they're looking for. I don't know from a photographer's standpoint if there's anything more frustrating than when a client says, hey, look at this shot. I really like this shot. And it's something that was clearly taken during those golden hours in photography, you know, your dusk, your dawn hours. And they want to do this shot at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in July. And you know as well as I do that 3 o'clock in the afternoon in July is not a great time to get a nice sunset, you know, tone to your pictures. They're going to be harsh. The light's going to be terrible. And if I don't know my client and I haven't built that relationship with them, then when I say, hey, you know what? I know that this kind of butts up against maybe nap time at this particular hour, or you're going to be a little bit late to eat dinner. But, you know, if we schedule this session, say, at 6 o'clock, we're going to get an image that looks like this versus an image that looks like that. You can't really say that to somebody if you haven't built that relationship with them and established a rapport with them. So, you know, again, for me, that particular image that you're talking about with that particular client, that was my first set of twins that I had ever shot. And I told the lady that had contacted me, you know, we can try this and, you know, we'll go for it. But if, you know, if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. And she ended up contacting me, you know, a little bit later and saying, you know what, Mandy, you're right. Let's go ahead and try to shoot this earlier in the morning so that we can, you know, kind of get that great light. And with those kids, they were 1-year-old twins. And it was literally me just knowing my camera, adjusting to the way that the kids were. You can't, honestly, if you've ever tried to pose a 1-year-old and succeeded at that, then you win, I don't know, some kind of an award, because that's just impossible to do. But you know, you let kids be kids and then capture them doing what they want to do. That's the best advice I have, I think, on that.
Awesome. And for the toddlers and whatnot, my boss Jim with his kids, to get them interested, do you ever find yourself showing them the back of the LCD screen just to show them what they look like, or is that something that you shy away from? Because that's something I found even when I put it into practice with some kids that were about 11 and 12, especially a girl who I felt was a little conscious at that age of how she looks. Say, hey, look how pretty you look in this shot. Do you do that with any of the kiddos or the adults that you work with?
Absolutely. You know, human beings just by our very nature need to be reassured when we're putting ourselves in vulnerable situations that everything is going to be okay. And showing people what you're doing on the back of your screen, that's great. With my little guys and girls, one of my favorite tricks of the trade that I use is to tell them that my camera is winking at them. And if they look super close in the middle of the camera, they'll see my camera wink at them. And usually they get in real super close to the lens and they try to watch for the shutter to open and close. And when they finally see it, it's the most amazing thing in the world to them. But it helps them kind of, you get their attention, they're looking at you, they're engaged, and inevitably they will see the camera wink, which is great because you're not a liar.
True.
You'd hate to do that.
Yeah, you hold up your end of the bargain, and I actually had that happen this weekend. I'm smiling when you were saying that, because I had a subject, he was really hard for him to open his eyes because he was cheesing with that big smile on his face, and I said, just look into the lens. I guarantee it's going to blink, and when it blinks, that you can do whatever you want with your eyes. And you know, I think it comes down to that rapport with the subjects. I think that you break down a lot of barriers that a lot of photographers have with their clients, because when you establish that rapport, you notice that any of that awkwardness just kind of just dissipates, any of the awkwardness of an unprepared shoot, does it just kind of melt away once you have that rapport with them?
Absolutely. You know, and one thing too, especially with working with kids, that obviously now that I'm a mom, I'm a little bit more sensitive to, but one thing I always will ask my clients before we get to the shoot, when I'm in that discovery stage, is, you know, what fears their kids have. Not because I want to, you know, use that in a harmful way, but I had a client one time that was deathly afraid of dogs, and, you know, I never in a million years would have guessed that, you know, a little 4-year-old would have been deathly afraid of a dog. And I was trying to, you know, work with the client, and, you know, I was making like puppy sounds, and the kid was terrified, just absolutely terrified. And it didn't dawn on me until after the fact that, you know what, I should probably have asked that mom, you know, if the child is scared of dogs, or, you know, if, you know, like perhaps the sound of motorcycles. So if you're shooting somewhere by like a park or something, you can just be aware of the fact that you might have those types of things that you need to look out for, that, you know, you can prepare and anticipate their presence and then respond accordingly as you're shooting.
Wow. Now I can definitely attest to why it is important to get to know your clients and everybody who's going to be involved within the photo shoot. But before we move on to discuss some more tips and tricks for pulling off a successful portrait shoot with Mandy Everett, I would really like to take a moment to thank Animoto for making this episode of the Improved Photography Podcast possible. Animoto is the easiest way to create high-resolution videos. Animoto helps you edit photos and video clips and place them into a professional quality video you'll be proud to share with your clients. They offer a pro premium plan that also offers a reseller license, so you can sell your videos to consumers and businesses alike. And that is really cool, because that is something you can say to your clients that is an offering within your photography business. So if you're an aspiring photographer, you have a photography business, and you're looking for something special just to add to make your business just pop a little bit, I think give Animoto a shot. It's really a cool tool. They have professional graphics designers in there that make the photos look awesome. It's just not slide click like you see with some videos out there. It's professional quality videos. They also take the time to buy their music legally, which is great because you have awesome quality audio on there that everybody can relate to depending on their taste and genre in music. And I really suggest you give Animoto a shot today. To get started and try Animoto out and take a look at their pro premium plan, go to animoto.com/improve. And we'd really like to thank Animoto today for their support of the Improve Photography Podcast. All right, Mandy, let's talk about the next topic. Thanks. Do you ever find that the parents, when you're working with teens or even older kids, they kind of get in the way? And how do you tactfully, beyond building that relationship, just kind of make sure that mom isn't taking over or you know, something along those lines?
You know, that's usually a discussion that I'll have prior to the actual photo shoot. And just usually with parents of teens, they're pretty familiar with the ups and downs that come with their teenager, I suppose is the best way to say that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's just a conversation that you have with mom or with dad and just say, hey, you know, in my experience, these types of photo shoots generally go the best when I can work one-on-one with your child. You know, maybe you want to hang out in the car and read a book on your tablet or something along those lines, but we're going to get the best shots if I have an opportunity to build the relationship with Sarah or whoever the child might be, without, you know, kind of the distraction of having you there.
I can completely agree. So you said you've been at this for over 3 years. So what are you doing to have repeat customers or finding new customers? I mean, I always, when people ask me that question, I say it's word of mouth. We can do whatever we want to hustle on Facebook, on websites, with search engine optimization to try to get people to our sites. But since we're offering a service, we have to sell ourselves, not so much the fact that we can take technically good, sharp photos. So is that your approach or what's your view on that?
That is 100% my approach. I opened my business officially 2 years ago, and in 2 years I have spent $0 on marketing. That's just not a priority for me because I feel like if you nurture the relationship with people, the people that appreciate that small business touch and that personal touch are the ones that I want coming back to me and are the ones that I want to tell their friends, you know, hey, I've got this girl that she takes great shots. But more so, like, we love her. They, like, you know, photo shoots with her. That's just like going out with, you know, Aunt Mandy or whatever the case might be. But, you know, I want people to feel that comfortable with me at their photo shoot. I don't want somebody that just is looking for like a quick photo shoot. You know, there's a lot of, again, politics in our business, and I'm not interested in clients that are looking to get, you know, a quick 20-minute session for $15 and, you know, get 100 images from that. Because as you're aware right now, as you're editing a million pictures, you know, a lot of what we do to do it right, it takes time. And I want clients that are going to, first of all, appreciate the effort that I'm putting into our relationship, but also appreciate the effort of getting the right images that they're looking for.
I think that's huge. I actually was in the camera store in Omaha, and one of the gentlemen who works there, he's certified through PPA and has won lots of awards for his portraiture and landscape work. And he actually had a grandma walk up to him once and say, "Hey, are you the least expensive?" And that was the only qualification she was looking for. So I can definitely understand there's just those clients that are not going to work out. And I think that the market can endure almost every type of photographer at any price level. But a lot of people, unless you take the time, like you were saying, to educate your clients, there's a lot of work that we do on the back end beyond the time that we spend with them in front of the lens. And if they don't realize what type of value we're bringing them, I think that it gets lost in the wayside, especially with all these newer photographers coming out. And there's nothing right or wrong with them doing it, but and I don't get caught up in the politics either. To they just shoot and burn, and I think a lot of people are having that perception to where they just say, "Hey, I want someone who's going to shoot some photos, maybe haphazardly edit them, and then burn them onto a DVD and give them to me." So I think that I really like your approach of how you're able to get to know your clients, find out what their expectations are, and then find out where they want to go as far as whether they want digital files, whether they want prints, and what they're actually desiring at the end of the day. Because if you don't have a clue of where you're going, how can you really expect a client to be satisfied at the end of So,
Absolutely.
yep. So one thing I do ask also with your photos is, how do you get the inspiration? Is it through that interaction with the family and the clients, to where you incorporate different things and locations, or is that all part of the interaction, or are you just really creative? Because I've noticed almost in every one of your photos that looks like it's taken with like a little trike or a stool or something like that. The posing is just so unique, and you'll have to definitely visit Mandy's Facebook page to put your eyes on what I'm talking about here. But what do you do for inspiration?
So we live in an age now where everybody is like Pinterest crazy, right? Like, how many of your clients don't say, "Oh, I want that particular image"? And I, honest to God, will tell my clients from the very get-go, that's a great image, and I get like the feeling that you're looking for, and I'd like to be able to capture that for you, but I'm gonna capture it in the way that I know how, in the way that feels organic to me, because that's how we're gonna get the best images out of this. So usually they'll show me something that they like, and I'll make sure that I get their commitment and that they understand that I'm gonna give them my version of what they see and how I'm interpreting what they're looking for. And I've never had a client come back to me and say, "You know what? I didn't get what I was looking for in terms of this particular image." And that sounds very arrogant. I don't mean it to sound that way at all. I'm
It
just saying,
doesn't. It doesn't.
I always like to put my own spin on what they're looking for. And if I'm last night, I was laying on the floor playing around with my son, and I made my husband get up and come down on the floor with us and kind of, I to describe it sounds funny, but to lay on top of me as I was laying on top of my son, because I was thinking to myself, man, this might be a pretty cute thing to incorporate into a photo shoot sometime if I have the right size family. But that inspiration just kind of hits you when it hits you, and then you just file that in your memory bank and you use it at a different time.
That's amazing. And do you see yourself changing your approach at all? I mean, it seems like your workflow is pretty awesome. I mean, what do you do in post-production is mainly what I was trying to get at, because I was just fascinated by that pose and putting it together in my mind. And I actually, just because we're so candid when we record these, like, what do you do with your post-production? Are you running Lightroom, Photoshop? How are you editing your photos?
I was, when I first started out, I was on Elements, Photoshop Elements, and I liked that enough. But when Lightroom, I got on the Lightroom wagon, if you will, in their fourth installment, and I really like Lightroom for going in and culling through my photos and kind of throwing out what I don't want and kind of picking my selection of what I like. And I'll use Lightroom, I would say, for probably 80% of my post processing. And then when I need to take something into Photoshop, now I really, honestly, and I'm not getting paid to say this, but I love the Creative Cloud that Photoshop has recently started to offer. I think that was in the last year and a half or so. It's just a really great way for a photographer like myself that's not you know, I'm not making a living off of photography right now. It's not my only source of income, I should say. And it's the price point on that product for what you get is amazing. And it really fits well with where I'm trying to align my business.
And I think you're talking to the right people, because both Jim, the host of the Improved Photography Podcast, myself, we love Lightroom. We spend probably 80 to 90% of our time inside Lightroom and only bring our photos over to Photoshop for the heavy lifting, because the workflow inside Lightroom, as it's growing, and I also have the Creative Cloud subscription, it seems to just get easier and easier and more powerful. So unless I'm doing some pixel punishment, I usually leave my images in Lightroom as well. So with that, each week we like to leave our listeners with a doodad of the week. That can be a piece of gear, a special item, an app, as long as it has something to do with photography that helps you as a photographer. We more than welcome to embrace that doodad. So do you have anything that you've thought of this week?
You know, not probably this week, but lately I've been doing a lot of newborn sessions because I've been meeting a lot of new moms. And one thing that I found during my newborn session, there's an app that actually I still use every night for my son when I put him to sleep, but it's called Sound Sleeper. And it has a bunch of different, essentially, noises on it, whether that's white noise or like a shushing sound, a blow dryer or a vacuum cleaner, I think, or some of those ones that are in there. But I use that religiously when I do newborn sessions. I'll just turn that app on. It'll play for half an hour on the free version. And I tuck that in between whatever posing tools that I'm using. And it helps to really kind of keep the baby calm and helps to kind of provide a lot of noise distraction. You know, when you're doing pose changes with newborns and they're sleeping, the last thing that you want is for them to wake up. So yeah, that's one of my favorite apps right now.
That's awesome. And my doodad of the week is actually something, and it's going to sound a little bit self-serving for the podcast, but since we are talking about Lightroom, I would like to plug Jim's 2015 Lightroom Steal. It's going on for a couple more hours after you probably have downloaded this podcast, but he has put together some awesome presets for 2015 that will definitely help you stylize your photos and just give you a foundation for how your photos can look stylized and kind of give them that professional look, kind of like a filter, but then you can at least go under the hood in Lightroom and see what those changes have been made, so you can actually learn how to replicate that look, put your own spin on it, and truly take your photos to a whole nother level. But I really wanted to thank Mandy for her time, and once again, her photos can be found on Captured by Me, that's like M-E, like Mandy Everett, on Facebook. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the Improved Photography Podcast, Mandy.
Absolutely, Darren. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.